Good Work Show. We're back in like full effect right now. We've got guests going. We hope you've been enjoying the new format of the show.
Yeah, so this is what it's going to be for a while. So we're excited about that. Live from my dining room. So
yeah, I mean every show is kind of live from their house now. All the talk shows, yes, and everything. So this is no different. I mean, you know, the stars of the Good Work Show, we're live from our house.
Yeah,
there we have been, you know, throughout this time, but we're here, and we do have a really good guest though coming up today. Victoria Archibald, who is the owner of Care Patrol Metro Atlanta. She's going to come on, but she's also a certified senior advisor. And, you know, we've been talking about, well, you know, if you are a Good Work Show fan, you know, we love the senior community.
Like, yes,
that's one of our favorite groups of people. So we love the seniors, but there's been a lot of conversation and a lot of, you know, things in the news about the seniors and how they are being such, so negatively affected by COVID-19 and this pandemic. So we definitely are interested to hear from Victoria to see how her business and organization is doing. And then also there's a new house bill that just passed that is helping to improve conditions for folks who are living in our senior communities here in our state. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about that.
Yeah, I had a conversation with my dad the other day. I just kind of let it be known that he was going to go to Shady Pines. So
is that real? I feel like at this point somebody has opened up a Shady
Pines. Opened Shady Pines, then I need to do it, because
you should definitely do it. And it should look like, you should make it Shady Pines, like you should have all the Golden Girls stuff in there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It should be an homage to the Golden Girls.
Absolutely. So I let him know. I'm like, you do realize you're going to go to Shady Pines, right?
What did he say?
He didn't really say anything. He's like, I got insurance. I'm like, all right, good.
Well, I don't know. I just don't want to go to Shady Pines. I feel like that kind of like karma might come back if I tell any of my parents, either one of them, like, hey, you gonna go to this place, then I might go to Unshady Pines.
Well, I kind of feel like, so here's the thing. I've gone to visit like a senior community here in Atlanta, and I'm like, and we've had this conversation, like,
oh, it's fun.
Yeah, like, it's, if I could figure out a way to replicate that model for people like in their 30s and 40s, like, I'd want to do that. Like, instead of having like game night where it's like, you know, bridge, they should have like Madden contest, or yeah, you know, instead of having,
I mean, bingo is not that bad. Now that bingo doesn't get a bad rap. You get some of those kind of games, because you can play bingo a lot of different ways.
That's true.
And,
so,
and
like,
you know, old people, they know the ways you can play bingo. There's a lot of ways to play bingo. All I'm saying is, I don't know how to play bridge, canasta, whatever those guys, like, right. I don't know any of those games.
But I can
I
play
know
bingo.
How to play dominoes. I know how to play bingos. I know how to play bingo. But, you know, you could have, like, old school games, like, I'm beast in Uno. Like, let's have a Uno.
I don't play Uno. I don't play Uno with people because they're,
like, come on,
they're mean. But I would play Connect Four, Jenga. Like, you can't really have like elderly people play Jenga because, you know, whatever. But like younger people, like, that could be a part. So here, I just think that I think that's an idea. I just don't know who is the real estate developer to me. Because it's like almost like kind of reverting back to being in college. Like, if you think about when you were in college and you were in
the dorm. Open a dorm. That's all you have to do. Just open a, it's not connected to school dorm.
Right. But it's nicer, and it's your own like two bedroom, whatever condo, but it has all of the.
I don't want the bathroom down the hallway though. So you
No. It's like living in a building, you know, but then there's like organized activity. Yeah. And socialization. So anyway, so we're going to hear from Victoria. She's going to share with us kind of some of the stuff that folks should be thinking about if you are in the position where you're looking for additional support for folks in your life, whether you need elder care, memory care, that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a really interesting conversation to hear what she has to say and how COVID actually is affecting the business right now, because we know that it is, and kind of the decisions that people are making. So we hope that you'll stick with us and take a listen. We're excited to be back with our guests on the show and bringing you new, relevant, timely content about what's going on.
That's right. So we're going to switch over and invite Victoria on the show. Well, hello, audience. We are back and we are excited because we're being joined by Victoria Archibald, she's a certified senior advisor and she's the owner of Care Patrol of Metro Atlanta. So welcome to the show, Victoria.
Hello, Elaine. Hello, Chanice. I am very pleased to be here with you two this afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. Yes. So we're excited because you are amongst the first of our reboot in the, I guess, this COVID pandemic. We've been doing some shows, but we haven't had very many guests on. And so we're glad that you're joining us because there's some really, of course, these times are tough, but there's some really interesting things that have been happening in your industry as of late because of the pandemic. So we're just going to jump right in and we want to talk a little bit about Care Patrol. And so tell us a little bit about the organization and your mission.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'd love to. So Care Patrol was started about 27 years ago. It was founded by a gentleman who was a social worker and who had worked in hospitals or with hospice agencies out in Arizona. And he had an opportunity, he had a client who he quickly realized needed more help than she was getting. And so he came up with this idea of creating this placement service, this placement agency. And then about 11 years ago, he and his wife started franchising. And now today, there are over 140 Care Patrol offices throughout the United States. And I purchased my office here in the Atlanta area in February of 2014. So I've been doing this for about 6.5 years. Yes.
Wow.
So tell us a little bit about what you guys do and the services that you offer and why it's so important for families when they're going through this process.
Wow. So what we do is we assist families in finding assisted living, memory care, personal care homes, independent living, and in-home care. So essentially what happens with us is we are what I call a full service placement agency. So when a family, a senior or their family members, their loved ones figure out that mom or dad cannot go home and live independently, safely at home anymore, they then have to figure out sort of the next step for them. And in many cases, our clients come to us after they've been in the hospital or they've been in rehab and they're about to be discharged. And they, as I said, they cannot live safely at home on their own. So we get involved by, first we meet with the family, we do an assessment of their loved one to determine what their care needs are and what, you know, what other things are important to the family as far as a place for them to live. There are literally hundreds of assisted living communities, we call them supportive living communities throughout the Atlanta area. And so for most families, particularly if their loved one is coming out of an acute or subacute facility, they don't have the time or the expertise to figure out where we should place mom. Where's the best place to place dad? Where can he get the best, most appropriate help that he needs? So we come alongside those families and really direct them and guide them to where their loved one can be placed in a safe environment and provide and get the care that they need.
Wow. So, you know what, this pandemic has probably, I don't know if it's increased your business or made it more complicated or difficult, but we have, you know, unfortunately, this, you know, COVID-19 is affecting our elder population in ways that it has not affected other populations, well, at least to the extent. And so we've heard a lot about, you know, our seniors and taking good care of them and comorbidity, you know, and what that looks like and how that intersects with COVID. I guess we're still, you know, it seems like every day we're still learning about this. How has COVID-19 affected the decisions about elder care when it comes to the families that you're serving? And what new things are you having to consider and talk with the families about?
That's a great question. So COVID-19, as with all of us, has really turned life upside down. And nowhere is that more acute than with the senior, with the elderly population, and particularly with assisted living communities. So in the past, so just to give you a few ideas of how we've had to pivot how we do business and how we support families. In the past, if I got a call from a hospital social worker or case manager about a patient, I would go in to the hospital or the rehab facility, and I would meet with the patient and I would meet with the family on site, and I would do my assessment. Well, clearly, we cannot do that any longer because they're not letting anyone in. In the past, we would recommend certain communities to that family and based on the assessment, and we would actually accompany them on tour to these recommended communities. We would go in with them, we would tour the communities, we would ask, you know, help them, you know, think about questions to ask to understand, you know, if this is the right community for their loved one. We can't do that anymore. The assisted living communities are not allowing non-essential people to come into their buildings. So everything since COVID has had to be, as in your business, has had to go virtual. We meet our families on the phone or through a video conferencing like this. We tour the communities virtually. And everything is done by phone or virtual, everything from start to finish. And the challenge with that, with a lot of families, is they also are not allowed to go and visit their loved ones once they place them in an assisted living community. And that's a really tough, challenge and a really tough decision. So, needless to say, a lot of families have put off the decision to place mom or dad because they don't want to place them and then not be able to go and see them once they're placed. So only in the situations, and there are some, what I would call really dire emergency situations, are we able to actually place people because there is no other option really for them. They cannot stay at home any longer. They don't have someone that can provide the care that they need. And I'm thinking mostly folks with, say, dementia or Alzheimer's or some kind of cognitive impairment. Those folks require a very high degree of care. And oftentimes if they're living with a spouse that's also elderly, it just becomes overwhelming. So those are the ones that we are in most cases, we're able to still place. But for folks who were just gonna move to assisted living because they're ready to downsize and they wanna, you know, they may need a little bit of care, but they're really going for the socialization aspects of it and just, you know, to have a more carefree lifestyle. Those are the folks that have kind of postponed or delayed the decision to move into a supportive living situation.
Yeah. So we have just a couple of minutes left, but we definitely want to talk about House Bill 987 and how that is affecting assisted living facilities, how it's hopefully improving some of the conditions for folks who were there. So tell us a little bit of background on that and what those changes that were in that piece of legislation, how that's going to be affecting folks who are in those facilities.
Thank you. So I think House Bill 987 was a huge step forward for the state of Georgia. You all are probably aware of the expose that the Atlanta Journal and Constitution did last year that really exposed some degree of abuse in some assisted living communities. And I would say, because I work in this industry and I'm very intimately involved with these communities, it's a very small percentage of communities that are having problems. But House Bill 987 did do a couple of things that I think were needed and are very important. I would say the first thing that it addresses is really the need for additional training by the caregiving staff, particularly for folks who have dementia. So one of the provisions is that if you are a memory care community, you have to have additional training by your caregivers. I think that's hugely important because that takes it in a whole different direction when you have a cognitive deficit like dementia or Alzheimer's. There are also provisions in there that talk about looking at repercussions if a community is in financial trouble or if they're being sold, that information has to now be disclosed to the residents. And then the state has to be made aware if there are some financial issues, like the community is going to file bankruptcy or is going to shut down or whatever. There were some other things that I thought were also good. They now must have a trained clinician on site, like an RN or an LPN, if they are of a certain size. The one thing that, and of course they increased fines, dramatically increased fines for those who violate these rules. The one thing that they put in there or that I thought that was put in there that wasn't really an improvement, let's say, is the ratio of residents to caregivers. So before the new house bill, in an assisted living or a personal care home, there was a requirement that there be one caregiver for every 15 residents. That didn't change during the day, I should say, during waking hour. That didn't change in House Bill 987. In fact, most communities, most larger communities were beating that requirement anyway. Most larger communities had a 1-8 or 1-10 ratio. So that really wasn't an improvement. Where the other thing I want to say is, again, I support this. I think this was a big step forward. We needed it. We needed the focus. We needed the attention. There's a lot more that needs to be done. And there's a lot more, honestly, that needs to be done on the skilled nursing side. So when we talk about skilled nursing, if you look at the number of COVID cases, if you look at the deaths from COVID, there's much bigger issue on that side of the table than on the assisted living side. And what my fear is that people in the general public will conflate the two. And they hear long-term care, and they think that people are talking about assisted living. Assisted living and skilled nursing are totally two different things. And so I hope that the next work will be on addressing some of the real deficits on the skill side of the aisle.
Well, Victoria, this has been a wealth of information. I know that, just hearing Care Patrol and what the organization does in terms of vetting out, these places for our loved ones is such important work, particularly now, and so great that you and your team have been able to pivot your business model to ensure that you can still provide that service. So we appreciate you for coming on the show, taking time. I know it's probably a day busy with Zoom calls all day long for you, but we're excited that you carved out a little bit of time for us. So we thank you so much for that, and thank you so much for for just supporting our senior community. We love our senior community on the Good Work Show. So it's super important to us that generation of people are well taken care of. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed meeting both of you and spending time. Thank you.
Absolutely.